Today I chat with Courtney, who is a mother of three children under seven. Courtney shares about her initiation into becoming a mother, her three very different postpartum experiences, one of which included her husband taking a full year of paternity leave, and how this benefited their relationship. She also shares her insights on what motherhood has taught her, things like slowing down and finding her playfulness again, as well as the adjustments in returning to paid work and the challenges that brings to mothers who are often feeling guilty when they receive that call from daycare that their child is sick and needs to be collected for the sixth time in the last 6 weeks. This is an insightful and practical conversation that I know many mothers will both relate to and feel encouraged by as they move through their own daily mothering experiences. I hope you enjoy this episode. Hi, Courtney. Nice to have you on the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Keturah.
No worries. So could you introduce yourself in terms of who you've got in your little brood, how many children and their ages?
Yeah, I'm a mother of three. I have a seven-year-old daughter, a five-year-old son, and a one-year-old daughter. So at one point, I had three under five and a bit.
That's pretty busy. Do you recommend that?
Oh, gosh. Whatever works for people's circumstances.
That's it. And did you always want to be a mother?
Well, not exactly. I did that classic thing of turning 30 and thinking, oh, this is the decade where people have children. And I actually remember being at a 30th birthday party with my friends from high school, and we all had this pregnancy pact that we said, once we turn 32, we're going to have a baby, each have a baby. And as it turns out, we kind of all did within 18 months of each other, which has been lovely.
Oh, how nice.
So, I can't say that I dreamt of being a mother from an early age. I think I took the approach, it's what people do.
Right, yeah. So coming into motherhood, how did you feel? Was it something that you just kind of felt like you were smoothly sailing with, or was it a bit of an adjustment?
Oh, it was a huge adjustment. With my first, I felt like I'd been hit by a bus. She was a very unsettled baby and some complications at birth. Not for her, she was fighting fear, and she continues to have that kind of approach to life. But had postpartum hemorrhage and felt very tired for quite a while after birth. And then she early on was diagnosed with cow's milk protein allergy, so that kind of explained the unsettled behaviour. It definitely wasn't a smooth first taste of motherhood.
Yeah.
And I think also my background is in law, and lawyers like control and they like competence and they like certainty, and none of those things exist in mothering a newborn. So, yeah, it was a huge shock.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's a whole different ball game, isn't it?
Mm.
We think work is hard until we have a child.
That's right.
And so you went back again and had another child, and how was that experience? Did that differ very much from the first in terms of pregnancy, birth, postpartum?
So different. Just a very different temperament. He slept really well. He was a very calm baby. The birth was great. He was a very big baby, and the birth was quick and no complications. And actually, I remember the midwife, when she was measuring all his lengths and weight and all of that, and measured his hip foot circumference, said, oh, way to go, Courtney, which was a little alarming at the time. But, it was a really good birth. And actually I remember driving home from the hospital, and he was just sleeping in the car seat, not screaming. And I just thought, is everything okay with this baby? Because I was in tears on the way home from the hospital with my first because she was so distressed in the car. But, yeah, that was a really nice newborn period with them. I mean, hard in terms of my daughter was only 2 1/4 and she was having trouble adjusting to a new sibling. But lovely, those times where it was me and him at home together.
What sort of support did you have during that time? Did you have much family around you? Was there anything that you put into place to kind of get through those times, both the first and the second?
I really hadn't put much thought into it the first time. So I remember getting to 6 months postpartum thinking, we've got to get a cleaner. The floor hasn't been vacuumed in months. That's one thing I would recommend to people is get that sort of practical support in. And I did have my mum around she was still working with my first, but by the time I'd had my second, she was retired and able to help. So, you know, she would look after the baby while I'd pick up my daughter from daycare, and it was nice to, you know, be able to give her big hugs and not be distracted by the baby at pick up time.
That's nice. So you have a career that would presume that you enjoyed. It was something that was very much a part of your identity and your world. You took some maternity leave, I'm presuming. How did you feel in the return to work?
So after my first, I went back full time. I took a year of maternity leave, then went back full time, and my partner took a year off looking after the baby, and that was great for our relationship. So he got a bit of a taste of what it's like being at home with a young child, that it's can be lonely at times, can be hard work. It's not the definitely not the easy job. But returning to work, I was a bit apprehensive, but after a week or so, it really felt like I'd never left. And having that support at home, I think it's a very different experience from someone who's going back to work and their partner's also working, and it's much more of a juggle. So once he went back to work, I did get more of a taste of that juggle when we were both full-time.
Do you think the workplace environment in your industry is set up for women coming back to work after having babies?
I think what shocks most people coming back is if their child's in daycare, how often they get sick. And so you have that, you know, that guilty phone call that you have to make saying, my child's sick again, you know, people exhaust their sick leave pretty quickly with a young child. And they're also forever getting sick themselves. I think some people have said additional sick leave would be a good thing. And I think also meeting times, being mindful of, you know, having a meeting at 8:30, it's not going to work for someone who's trying to get their child to childcare. There are definitely adjustments that people can make to make it easier for the transition back to work.
Now, there's some very good ideas there. Something that we just need to work out how to get into the policies and things of the workplace. But one thing I do want to say is that I think that is such a gift to the whole family, is for the father to have some sort of paternity leave. It really, as you said, I think more dads, if they have that opportunity, to take it, because it just gives them such insight into what it's like with a child all day, in terms of your own autonomy and also the baby's needs and how demanding they are, and that it's not just kind of a thing that we put down to sleep, we can feed and everything's so regimented, but it really takes, it's all consuming. And maybe it might stop partners coming home and wondering what we've done all day.
Yes, absolutely.
Which, when we kind of write it all down or think it out loud, it's a lot. Mm. And it's only if they experience it for themselves, I think they really have a good grasp on that. Yeah. So some women in when they become mothers, and especially if you didn't necessarily desire to become a mother, or if you had a career that would felt, you know, very satisfying, feel like they've lost themselves in some way. Would you, and others will actually say that if they've gained, they've really kind of realised that this is always where they've been meant to have been. How would you say you felt, would you, if you were to put yourself on that spectrum?
Oh, it's definitely changed, I guess, what I enjoy. So, you know, I used to like the very analytical, reasoned approach that law brings to life. And I feel now very differently. That, you know, I would love to work with young children, that, you know, their honesty and their joyfulness, and that seems a much more attractive workplace these days. So it's definitely changed what I appreciate and the direction I want to take, for sure.
Mm. Yeah, it's really amazing. Would you have expected that, or did that come as a bit of a surprise to you?
It came as a big surprise. Mm. And I think it's been a gradual thing. I think after each baby, I think, well, actually, you know, this is the place I want to be in. And I also, I guess, now appreciate how quickly things change. Mm. In childhood, things are moving along so quickly. And I have much more of a sense I don't want to miss out on those, you know, early days and precious moments.
Yeah, it's true. I think with each child too, you learn so much about yourself, and when they have different personalities, you're able to kind of retrieve more information about yourself in the way that you respond to them and the way that you teach and train them.
Yeah,
it's such a learning experience. I was listening to something recently about the work-life balance. I think you've been able to achieve that in some way. Could you tell us a bit more about that in your industry, how you were able to? I'm not necessarily sure if there is a work-life balance in the fullest meaning, but you have been able to get some sort of arrangement that works for your family. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so after my first baby, I went back full time, I think I mentioned, and my partner took a year of paternity leave. And then after my second, I went back to a job share arrangement. So my job share partner and I each worked 3 days a week with a crossover day, and loved that. Job share arrangements are a great way to get, you know, meaningful work, interesting work, but actually not being on call those days. You're not supposed to be working. So I recommend people look into job share arrangements. I think it's a growing kind of way of working, and it's much more accepted than it used to be, especially in government jobs. I think you're seeing more job share arrangements, and they work well. You bring a sounding board along to a role that you wouldn't otherwise get. You get two different approaches, and I mean, communication needs to be really good between the job share and partners. So, you know, you choose someone you're really compatible with. But it's great. It was my work marriage, and it worked really well.
Yeah, that's great. I'm really pleased to hear that. It doesn't always end up that way for a lot of people. So it's great to hear that it can work and work well. Mm-hmm. Another thing I hear mothers saying sometimes is it's not really a job share arrangement, in that they feel like they're still doing full-time hours, but in getting paid for, say, 3 days. Did you find that at all?
On the days off, you have to be, you know, someone else is in the seat. So, yeah, if you're there half working, it really confuses things. So you really have to step back and say your job share partner's the one to talk to on those days.
That's great.
Yeah. I think I forgot to talk about my third. I keep forgetting to talk
about it. Yeah, so let's read through to the third.
And yeah, so after my third, I went back 2 days a week and doing some special projects that aren't time sensitive, but interesting strategic projects, which has been great. That's sort of, I guess, the right balance for me at this stage. I'll probably up my days in future, but that's working really well for our family at the moment.
That's incredible, yeah, that you were able to achieve that in an industry that isn't always as kind of accommodating, which can apply to most industries really these days. But I think depending on who is in, you know, your who your superiors are and whether they are family people can make a big difference. But also just listening to you, I think it will give hope to a lot of other mothers that it is possible. And I guess you can only ask, aren't you? I think maybe sometimes we think it's not going to be attainable or we're going to be rejected in our proposal. But you can only ask.
That's right. I think, I mean, there are always, I guess, the trailblazers, for want of a better word, that you can point to and say, hey, it worked over there. Can you accommodate something similar for me?
Yeah. I think more and more workplaces will realise just how valuable women who are mothers are to the workplace. They come with so many, they've now got a newly highly attuned brain that is more kind of geared for efficiency and productivity. So in actual fact, what an asset, yeah, that mothers are. So I think we need to be really pushing for more ideas like you have with the job share arrangement. Okay, so what have you loved most about being a mother?
I think the playfulness that comes with it. I think you forget that as an adult.
Yeah.
And suddenly you're being silly again and you're playing again and it's something you haven't done for 20 plus years.
Yeah.
So I've loved that. I've also loved, I guess, slowing down, and not being all about what you do. And being more about building the relationships with others.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah. So, Courtney, I know you've talked about how motherhood has changed you, how you've kind of it's brought different perspective to your life, and slowing down was one of the ways that you felt like has really been a big change in your life. Also, I totally understand, because I feel this way sometimes, motherhood is very frustrating, and it can really test us at times, because we might have a personality where we like to be very productive, as it were, and to complete tasks, but we know with family life it's always like a half a dozen open tasks at any one point. What has actually helped you kind of let go as much as you can? We're all human, but of the frustration sometimes of not getting things done or just being, how do you find you still can be present for your children but feel good in yourself about it as well?
Yeah, I think one thing is having time away occasionally and not feeling guilty about it, that it's good for the kids
to yourself, you mean?
Yeah, awesome. With your friends.
Yeah, awesome.
I think don't feel guilty about that. It is great for children to be with someone who has a different emotional state from you. That's one thing that helps to remain present when you need to be present. And that's the thing, it's you don't need to be present constantly. It's a good thing.
As in physically present. Yeah.
Physically, and also within, when they're with you, it's just those peak moments where they really need you. And as they get older, those become less and less frequent, I guess. It's just when they have those challenges, being there to, you know, bend down and help them through whatever it is they're struggling with. I think that's been, I guess, a learning curve for me, because, you know, you can be half present all the time or you can be very present in those critical moments, and I think that's what I've had to learn.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so glad you've mentioned, you know, even that separation of going away outside of your children as being something that's okay, because a lot of mothers just really wouldn't give themselves permission to do something like that. And, you know, we've all been there with feeling guilty about not being with our children. But as you beautifully expressed, it's really more about quality in our attachment than it is about how much we're with them. They're not going to remember that we did every school drop-off or every school pick-up, or that we were, you know, always there to put the Band-Aid on. But what they are going to remember is that when Mum was with us, she was very present and it was all about us. So I think consistency, you know, something that actually you do feel like you're being very present in. You've mentioned some lazy mornings, I think, in, you know, just kind of chatting and maybe laughing and cuddling in bed, or bedtime routines are another way that we can be really present with our children, that consistency of being there at that time. That's what they will remember.
Mm.
In, you know, not so much did we make every sports carnival.
Mm-hmm. That's yeah. Right. And with our, you know, sort of very tight nuclear families,
mm-hmm.
I think kids miss that opportunity to bond with other adults, which I think is so important. So I would say make sure you give your children the opportunity to bond with other adults from an early age.
Absolutely, yeah. It's really important for their mental and emotional health, really, isn't it? And also for adapting to different people in different contexts, from different backgrounds, and everybody can offer, all adults can offer something unique to your child.
Mm, build their community early. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, that's really good. So you had your third baby. Was that different in your planning in terms of your postpartum, or how did that go? Did you have that baby just as quickly as your second?
Yeah, so I've had three very quick births, so at least I'd sort of expected it to be quick. And yeah, it was in the middle of the day, so I the other two had been in the middle of the night, and I expected the same would happen. So in a way, I wasn't prepared. My partner wasn't even on paternity leave yet, so luckily he was working from home, so he was able to make the birth in time. If he'd been working at his office, there's no way he would have made the birth. So it's something I'm very grateful for. And I remember just walking around as at RPA, walking around Sydney Uni, being in the throes of labour and being surrounded by 19-year-olds and feeling very, yeah, very out of place. So rushed back to RPA and had it very quickly. And, yeah, it's a bit more painful than the others. And I just assumed it was because I was during the day and I was a bit more aware and awake. A bit brighter. And then a week later when the midwife was visiting, she said, oh, you know, it was a posterior birth. I was like, oh, okay. And she said, yeah, normally, you know, they're a lot more painful and need, you know, often instrumental intervention. But, yeah, I had no idea. I was none the wiser and didn't need that intervention. So, yeah.
So you didn't feel like you had been told, or maybe you didn't and it didn't land? But
yeah, no, I hadn't been told.
Wow. Maybe they thought you were just managing so well, they didn't want to change that trajectory for you.
Yeah, I think it would have, panicked me or distracted me if they told me. And I guess they felt there was no need, and yeah, they made the right call.
And how long was the duration of that labour?
Because an hour-ish.
Yeah. From when? From kind of the beginning of contractions or waters breaking, or
that's what they recorded as second stage labor is an hour, yeah. But there were some contractions before that in the morning.
Okay.
And then postpartum, my partner had 3.5 weeks off, which is the longest he's ever had off after any of the babies, and that was just lovely having a bit more time to settle into that newborn period.
Nice. Yeah.
And I think I knew that I'd need a bit of support with having a third. My my eldest had just started school, so that was a whole new, I guess, environment to navigate. And so I got a postpartum doula that time, which was so wonderful. So I think what I appreciated the most was having someone to talk to who wasn't family member. But, you know, it's different talking to a friend you know really well that you feel bad if it's that sort of very one-sided conversation. But with my postpartum doula, she was my sounding board, and she was there for me for, you know, just marshalling my thoughts after having a third, and just some practical support, so delicious meals and massage, wonderful massage, where they sort of picked me up so I needed to have a bit more energy in those early days.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So how would you say that experience, having the postpartum doula and somebody to talk to that was more of a neutral approach, how beneficial is that, would you say?
Oh, so beneficial. I think everyone should consider it. It's just such a good support. I wish I'd had that with my first. I had some support in the sense of, you know, I got in a lactation consultant, but that was, you know, such a, I guess, a very narrow focus, that sort of support. And I had a mother's group, but my baby was so unsettled that I wasn't able to participate very fully in the mother's group.
Mm.
So, yeah, it was great having someone come to my house, change the sheets, make you feel human, all of that.
Yeah. I think you've raised something important is the postpartum doula is there for you as the mother. So her focus is on you feeling as calm, as confident, as supported, as nurtured as possible, whereas a lot of approach from others is more towards the baby and their care. But this person actually wants to be kind of mother you. Yeah. We forget that we need mothering as well as our children. Yeah. Yeah, that's nice. I'm glad you had that experience. So having three children, I know a lot of families have two children in this day and age, and some have a desire to have a third, but there's a fear around having the third, whether that's going to just be the thing that tips them over in different ways, even just to do with, say, cars and logistics. What would you say about having the third? What has that brought to you if there's another family out there thinking of having a third but not sure? I mean, every family is individual, but...
Well, we've been umming and ahhing about it for a while, and then I think along came COVID and the pandemic, and thought, oh, this is all so miserable. I need something to look forward to, and I think that was the thing that pushed us over to wanting to have a third. I came from a two-child family, which is kind of the dominant model now, and I found it was all very binary. You know, with your sibling, it was, it was them or me. And I thought, oh, maybe a third would change up that dynamic. And it would be, they just have one more child there to, form alliances and supports and for each other. And, yeah, I just thought, let's see what this is like. Yeah. But, yeah, in terms of logistics, being outnumbered, it does complicate life substantially.
Okay. It's good to be realistic about it.
Yeah. You can no longer, divide off and have one-on-one time easily. And that's what kids love a lot of the time. So,
Because it's kind of almost getting unusual, isn't it?
Third child. It is. It's now thought of as a large family. Yeah.
Any middle child syndrome with the three?
I guess so. He's got the right temperament for being a middle child.
Just thinking, it'd probably be different if it was Audrey.
Oh, yeah. She has an only child temperament, so I figured that wasn't going to be an issue.
Would you say it was a bigger adjustment for her to have a newcomer in the family than for Blair?
Yes.
Yeah.
It takes her 2 years to accept a younger sibling. So she's coming on, she's about to come around.
You're going to have another one? Let's see. She'll be eight or something or nine before she accepts it.
Yeah. So she ignored her little brother for the first 2 years of his life and then thought, hey, this person has some advantages and might be a playmate. And then, yeah, accepted him. And that's starting to happen with number three too.
Perhaps just by way of, you know, concluding this episode, which I've really enjoyed, but what have been your kind of biggest aha moments or learning experiences from becoming a mum?
One would have to be that temperament is largely set from day one.
Yeah.
So with my first, I always thought, you know, I should be doing more to mould this person and, yeah, their reactive nature and all of that. And then I had my second and I realised, oh, no, they're kind of on their own trajectory. If you try and change that trajectory too much, you're, you know, you just have to accept it. And so that's one thing that, you know, temperament is... is something that is set, and the handling does not determine that very much at all. That was one, I guess, learning from having a second. I guess the other was, yeah, that as a parent you're always learning. I mean, some people probably are natural parents and they just have that instinct of the right approach at the right time. But, yeah, be kind to yourself because you're learning too, especially the first time that, you know, you really are learning. You're learning how to be a mom, what that involves. And the other thing I think is don't read too many books.
Before you have children?
Yeah.
Or just generally parenting books?
Yeah,
or
both.
Yeah.
So I remember having a pile of books, sort of quite a library on babies. And
I'd imagine that with you.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
It's like the answers must be in there somewhere.
Yeah.
And, yeah, some of it's not that helpful because if you're trying to apply it rigidly, you sort of go off in the wrong direction. I remember reading one book that talked about, you know, it was talking up the benefits of breastfeeding a lot, but, you know, saying formula is quite different. And, formula-fed babies sort of need regular, you know, spaced out meal times, but breastfed babies, you know, they digest breast milk so quickly.
Mm.
And that sort of stuck in my head. And they said, you know, that can digest in 30 minutes. And so that was my logical brain going, okay, every 30 minutes I need to feed it. And you know, not being the right approach probably. So, yeah, that's another thing I'd say.
It's good advice. Yeah.
Go with what you think your baby needs.
Yeah. It can be hard from the beginning, especially the first time around, because you think, well, I've never done this before. Some people have never even held a baby before, never mind kept them alive. So it's kind of a natural tendency now that we have so much information available to us to go outside ourselves, to look to the external expert, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But it's often can leave us feeling more anxious after we are trying to be very, you know, disciplined about following all the different routines and suggestions that are offered, that it can make us feel more overwhelmed and more anxious. Mm. And yeah, I do agree. There has to be some balance there. There's definitely some useful information, but it takes time and intuition to kind of shut out the negative information or the things that are just not working for us. They might work for another family, but as you've mentioned too, the personalities of our children can really impact how we parent them.
Mm-hmm.
And going back to that nature nurture thing, I think there's a lot of nature there in our children. And I just couldn't agree with you more. They're just their personalities are very obvious and apparent from very early. And the more we tried to parent them in the same way as we parent their siblings, that the only person really becoming frustrated with that is us, because it's just never going to work. So they really are individual people, and, you know, we're not going to get everything right, and that's okay. We're not going to mess them up for life or anything because we didn't quite have it all down pat in the very beginning. Yeah, so very valuable suggestions there and things to think about, especially for new parents who might be wondering which apps, which books, which charts they should be following. Yeah, great. That's really, I couldn't agree more with what you've just said about those things. What would you like to say to encourage another mother that might just be struggling at the moment with her current season of mothering? Maybe it's something that's new to her, like her child has just started school, and as you said, every time our child does something new, that's a new experience for us with that individual child as well. It's a relationship that we'll have with them, and it's been a little bit disruptive for a little period of time. Say a mother's child has started school this year and she's struggling a little bit with letting go or something of the like.
Oh, it's a bit of a cliche, but I guess in every challenge there's an opportunity.
Yeah.
So, you know, for children learn from their challenges, and so do we. So, yeah, just I guess embrace the challenges.
Yeah, that's really true. Yeah, there's a lot of beauty in change as well. I know I tend to fear change, and also we can often be always thinking ahead. Oh, how am I going to cope when this happens? How am I going to cope with my child start school, leave school, and the like? But I think if we stay in the moment, we can move through these transitions a lot easier. And realise that it's not bad. It will feel maybe a bit wobbly for a little bit, but we'll realise that somehow our own mothering being will take over and move along with that change as well. And we'll be able to adapt, and we'll see how beautiful that growth can be. So, yeah, this has been a really enriching conversation with an experienced mother.
Don't feel it.
Well, you've given away some very valuable wisdoms and gems that I sort of find myself nodding to everything you've said. So thank you.
I hope that you enjoyed this episode and that it offered something helpful to your own mothering experience. If you are a pregnant woman or know someone who is, head over to my website to receive your free copy of the postpartum checklist and contact list. And if you'd like to be better prepared for your postpartum, both practically and mentally, purchase the Peaceful Postpartum ebook, a 52-page interactive guide on what you need to know and what matters most in postpartum. And so that we can get these conversations out to more mothers, I'd be grateful if you could like, share, and review this podcast, and we'll see you next time.